together. 1 Thessalonians 4:15. Let's read. And 16. Let's read. For this we say to you, by the word of the Lord, that we were alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord. We by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. So actually, the perfect answer to that question is every dead true believer. Yeah? From the time of the apostles. I don't think it covers the Old Testament, because the church started in the New Testament. They will be resurrected in their own time. From the time of the apostles till now, every believer that died, when Jesus calls, they will rise first. Yeah? So all within the moment, they will rise first, and we will rise to meet them in the air. So all true believers, from the time when Jesus was on earth till the rapture, will rise. They are the church. If right now we're in the church age, the church age started from Jesus' time and it's going to end at the rapture. The church age will end at the rapture. After the rapture, there will still be believers from the tribulation. But the church age starts from Jesus to the rapture. And the old church, which is the bride of Christ, you know, the church is the bride of Christ. So the rapture is actually Jesus coming to take his bride for a wedding in heaven. Yeah? And so that is it. Okay. So let me give you some answers. Okay, before we decide who won, who said 20 years? Sister Mary. Who said 2033, 2048? Sean. Okay, let me show you some answers. So this is my own working out of the signs. Okay? Don't take it like 100%. But as your pastor, I should be able to give you. Where's the pointer? Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay, let me show you some interpretation of the signs, and you can know what to watch out for. First of all, the master sign of the end of the age is Israel. Because Israel is the wife of God. The church is the bride of Christ. But in the Bible calls Israel the wife of God. You understand? And when Israel sinned, God disbanded the nation of Israel. From 70 AD, there was no nation of Israel. Until 1948. Never has it been heard that a nation will die and be reborn. But God gathered Israel from all nations. They were scattered all over. And God brought them back into Israel. So they first got the land. And in 1967, they got the capital, Jerusalem. Very soon, they will get the temple, which is the final sign. Yes? Now, if you read Luke and Matthew, it said, the generation that sees all the signs will not pass away. I know. Let's look at it. Let's open to Luke 21. Luke 21, please. Verse 32. Let me quickly explain that. Luke 21, 32. Luke 21, verse 32. Are you there? Okay, I'll read from verse 29. Just follow me. Luke 21, from verse 29, it says, then he spoke to them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they are already budding, you know and you see and know for yourself that summer is now near. So you also, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. You know, and prophecy watchers, you know, easily define that. The main fig tree, the sign of the end itself, is Israel. So Israel that stopped being a nation, the moment Israel became a nation, that generation started counting. Meaning that the end, this word, I know it may be hard to believe, but you will see it. Because it will not happen suddenly. You will see the signs will increase. The confusion will increase. The turmoil will increase, so you will know. And the temple will be rebuilt, so you will know. It said that this generation that sees Israel becoming a nation again is the last generation. Meaning that within a man's lifetime, from that reborn of Israel, the end will come. So what I'm showing you is that don't ever sit back and say, you think this world will exist forever. This world will not exist forever. The Bible said it over and over and over again, that heaven and earth shall pass away. It's a recurring theme. This world will not last forever. Don't ever doubt it. And then, another thing I don't want you to doubt, that Jesus is coming back again. Don't doubt it. The proof that Jesus came back again is that he came the first time. Because before he came this first time, the prophet already said he will come. The first and the second. So if he came the first time, he's surely coming what? The second time. Whether you believe it, or, you know, this particular one, you don't need to believe it before it happens. Yeah? If you don't believe for your healing, you may not get your healing. But you don't need to believe this one. Whether you believe or not, Jesus is coming back again. And we are this generation. So that's why I tell you that I'm not planning to die. Because I expect to be raptured. I know that Jesus Christ is coming back again in my lifetime. Because I was not even born in 1948. You understand? And a baby born in 1948 will not pass away if they live long, of course. Until the end comes. Now, I know it may blow your mind, but expect it, because the Bible says the end will come. So it will happen. It's a matter of when. And it can happen in your lifetime. And I tell you something, begin to believe that it will happen in your lifetime, because that way you can prepare and live your life like it. Okay? Another thing to say to you is, let me show you one more place. Psalm 102 verse 16. Open Psalm 102 verse 16. Psalm 102 verse 16. Psalm 102 verse 16. Yes, someone should read that. Psalm 102 verse 16. Yes. Wow, that was a good projection.
For the Lord will rebuild Jerusalem. It will appear in his glory.
Okay, that's which version? New Living.
New Living.
Let's have it from King James or New King James. Psalm 102 verse 16 from King James or New King James.
For the Lord shall build up Zion. It shall appear in his glory.
Okay, I want another version. I want the version that starts with when. Yes.
When the Lord shall build up Zion, it shall appear in his glory.
You see that? He said, when the Lord shall build up Zion, it shall appear in his glory. Again, just confirming to you that Israel being reborn as a nation is a solid sign of the return of the Lord. Because when the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall what? Appear in his glory. Don't forget that. I know you're still planning for your great, 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 great grandchildren. Keep planning. But plan for heaven. Plan for what? Heaven.
What I just want to say with regards to what we've been learning is I was listening to a program on BBC Radio 4, and I can't remember the name of the scientist, and you know, it's about this scientist that believe in the Big Bang Theory and the fact that God didn't create the world and it was just a sudden appearance. And this guy has made a lot of millions from his science books and things like that. And he suddenly said to an audience that the world is going to vaporize and disappear one day. And they kind of quoted like thousands of years from the research or whatever is made. You know, when I heard that, and he said, when he said that, a lot of people seem to be disturbed and troubled. So what he was trying to say that, okay, so they believe there's a Big Bang theory and the world just came suddenly. But from that science thing they're talking about, they believe the world is just going to end suddenly like that. So if people can actually believe that we've got evidence from the word of God that Jesus Christ is going to come back, you know, and take us home, it is more plausible to actually believe the word of God and to believe in all the sudden signs, appearance and disappearance. But if whatever evidence they've looked at says that the world is going to disappear at some point, it's actually true that this world is not going to last forever. Amen.
I've read the Bible. If you read the Bible over and over again, one of the things that the Bible keeps repeating is that the earth will pass away. It will what? Pass away. And there's some people who are going to be living on the earth when it will what? Pass away. What I need to tell you is that it can very much happen in your lifetime, and it's very, very likely to do so. So why should you respond to that? You should live your life as though you are a stranger and a visitor in this life. This world is not your permanent home. Can we repeat that together? Say, this world is not my permanent home. Therefore, I have to invest into the life to come. Imagine you make heaven. Let's just assume that you just narrowly make it through. So that's some people's ambition. Some people, they just want to what? Squeeze it through. Some people, all they want to be is the doorkeeper in heaven or the toilet cleaner. They are happy. You say, I'm just in heaven. I don't mind being the toilet cleaner. But you mind being the toilet cleaner on earth, yeah? But you think that for all eternity, you won't mind being the toilet cleaner. But you mind being the toilet cleaner for 50 years of your life, but you won't mind for all eternity. Even just though you are in heaven. Do you see what I'm trying to say? That cannot be a good goal. It's a terrible vision for your life. Invest into heaven. Because when you get to heaven, the Lord will show you all your missed opportunities. You will cry. That's why the Bible says that God will wipe away every tear. You will cry when you see how you wasted your life on things that will not last forever. Invest. That's why the Bible says, lay up your treasure. Where? In heaven. And how do you lay up your treasure in heaven? You live by faith. You walk in love. How do you live in heaven? You give your best to love and serve God. And it doesn't remove anything from your life. And loving God also means loving people. Serving God also means what? Serving people. That's the way to live your life. Don't expect so on what will not last forever. Amen? Anyway, let's move on. The person who will get my prize is Sister Mary. Because I expect the rapture to happen within 10 years. Based on what I know in the Bible. I'll take your question. Well, let me give the prize to Sister Mary. She said 20 years. Now, Sister Mary, Sister Pamela.
I said for me, it's going to be within 7 years.
Within 7? You know what I'm saying? When I say within 10 years, or if I say within 20 years, it can be what? Tomorrow. Like Stephen said, it is any time from this second. Hallelujah. So don't go to bed, yeah, without getting right with God. If I don't leave this place without getting right with God. Bible says no one knows the day or the hour. But we know the times and the seasons. Believe me, we are in the times. We are what? In the seasons. Should I move on or should I show you a bit more about why we're in the times and seasons? Let's take a vote. Should I show you a bit more or should I move on? Okay, let's have a vote. If you want me to show you a bit more, put your hands up. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. If you want me to move on to other questions and skip this one, put your hands up. Okay, I'll show you a bit more. Open your Bible to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. You will see some stories that you've read and you're like, ah. You know that one thing about prophecy? When it's nearer the time, the revelation will start coming more. Luke chapter 10. I know a lot of people don't like, I'm not saying in this church, but worldwide, people didn't like that Donald Trump, you know, won the election. But I want to tell you, God put him there to do his will. Then I'm telling you, I'm sure. Even before the election, I told my wife, I said, that's the person that will win. To do his will. And it has to do with Israel. It has to do with Israel. I'm sure about it. Okay. Luke chapter 10, verse 35. Luke chapter 10, verse 35. Okay, now, this is the story of the Good Samaritan. Do you remember the story? Hello? Do you remember the story of the Good Samaritan? Let me see. Let me read the whole story. Actually, not me. Who can read this story for me? Luke chapter 10 from verse 30 to verse 37. Yes, read. And I'll show you a clue there.
Jesus replied with a story. A Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho. He was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes and beat him up and left him half dead beside the road. By chance, a priest came along. But when he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road and passed him by. A temple assistant walked over and looked at him lying there, but he also passed on the other side. Then a despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him.
Please follow the story out, because I'll ask some new questions on it. Yeah, go on.
Going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged them. Then he put the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn where they took care of him. The next day, he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, "Take care of this man. If his bill runs higher than this, I'll pay you the next time I'm here." Now, which of these three would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by the bandits? Jesus asked. The man replied, "The one who showed him mercy." Then Jesus said, "Yes, now go and do the same."
Amen. Okay, I want to change my questions. So, based on this, I'm going to give you some questions. Number one, children, are you listening? It's a parable, yeah, about the Good Samaritan. But I tell you that if Jesus is telling you a parable, listen carefully. It has many meanings. Remember that Jesus knows all the stories. At that point, he had been observing people living for 4,000 years. So I tell you, even every parable that Jesus tells you reflects probably a real story. Because why should he tell you a fiction when he has the data? I mean, like, if I have data of people living for 4,000 years, I can give you a real story. I have many. I don't need to give you a fiction. Question. Who is the Good Samaritan? Who, in that story, in the real life, who is the Good Samaritan?
Well, it's usually a true Christian, not always, but it's...
Who is the Good Samaritan?
Jesus.
Jesus is what? The Good Samaritan. Put your hands together for help me. Let's take my top. Jesus is actually the Good Samaritan. Because he was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. He came down from heaven to earth. Okay? Now, who is the... What's the name of the person there? The person that was... Where was it? The man that was traveling and was attacked by thieves. Who is that person? Who is the man that was traveling and was attacked by thieves? Yes. The person in need. Who is that person? And I will skip you for a while. Yes. Okay. Adults. This man was traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho and he was attacked by thieves. He stripped him of everything. In the real life, who is that man? Mr. Pamela.
Me and everybody.
You. It's you. Yes. Take your prize. Yes. The Good Samaritan is Jesus. The mantra is us, because we are born. The Bible says all have sinned. And what did they do? They fall short of the glory of God. You know? Without Jesus, we are spiritually bankrupt. Yeah? Without Jesus, our bank account in heaven is zero. You understand? We are being robbed by sin and Satan. You understand? Now, next question. Are you ready? Who was the Levite and the priest? That's an easy one. In real life, the Levite and the priest. In real life. Yes?
The devil and the non-believer.
No. It's not even a good answer.
People who don't care.
That's a nice one. Well, it's not the right answer. The Levite and the priest. The clue is in the question. In real life, who is the Levite and the priest? The clue is in the question.
Proud people?
No, no, you're way off. Yes, tell me. Who was the Levite and the priest?
False believers?
No. Look at the question. No, look at the clue. The clue is, who is a Levite? Who is a priest? What do they represent in this, in the real life now? The Levite and the priest. What do they represent? No, no, no. Think a bit more narrow-mindedly. The Levite and the priest. What do they represent? The Levite and the priest. Obviously, you don't hear those stamps now. What do they represent? No, no, no. You're moving nearer. I mean, you know anybody being called a Levite now, yeah? And what do they represent? What do they represent today? Yes? Sister Pamela may get another prize. Sister Rinke, you want to try? Yes, try. You're quiet. Come on.
Church?
No.
The pastors and...
No. Okay, I keep my prize. The Levite and the priest represents the law and the prophets. And you know, even before Jesus came, the law was there. It was given to Moses. But the law could not save them. In fact, the very day the law was given, 3,000 people died. Because when Moses came back from the mountain, and he came with the law, he met them worshipping the golden calf. And he broke, you know, the tablets, you know, and God judged the people. 3,000 people died. So the law did not save. The prophets did not save. Yeah, only Jesus came to save. Okay? Next question. Who is the inn? Or what is the inn in the Good Samaritan story? The inn. Yeah, like it took the wounded person to an inn. So, by the way, relax. So we have an inn and we have an innkeeper. In our real life, what is the inn? Andrew.
The church and the pastor.
The church. I'm not asking for innkeeper yet. The church. Yeah. What is the inn? Okay, the inn is the church. The inn is the church. Because when the Lord delivers you from the bondage of the sin, He brings you into the church where you can be catered for to grow spiritually. That is why if you're a Christian, you're taking away from church, you are doing yourself terrible harm. Because you are not being catered for spiritually. And you may soon find yourself back in the bondage of sin and the devil. Now, next question. Who is the innkeeper? No. Who is the innkeeper? Not the pastor. The pastor himself was saved. He was also in sin. You see what I mean? The pastor himself was delivered. No. The what? The Holy Spirit, Sister Claudia. The Holy... Share it with Sister Pamela. You said the same time. The Holy Spirit is the innkeeper. Now, let me now show you why I took you there. Look at verse 35. Look at verse 35. On the next day, look at verse 35. Luke 10, 35. Look at it, please. On the next day, when he departed, he took out what? He took out what? And did what? Gave them to who? And said to him, take care of him, and whatever any money you spend, when I come again, I will repay you. Now, if you search your Bible, in my Bible says, in King James, 2 denarii. If you search the footnotes of that scripture, most Bibles we have a footnote. It says, a denarii represented a day's wage. Hello? A denarii represented what? A day's wage. So, the Good Samaritan gave this innkeeper the wages of how many days? 2 days. And says, when I come again. So, he paid him for how many days? 2 days. 2 days. No, no, I'm just saying. The Holy Spirit is the innkeeper watching over the church. For how many days? 2 days. Yes? Let me show you the meaning of that 2 days. Open to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Open your Bible to 2 Peter chapter 3. So today you are getting some revelation. 2 Peter chapter 3. I'm explaining why we are coming to this sort of conclusions. We're not setting dates, but the purpose of this is so that you start preparing your mind to live more for God. That's all my goal. To live more for God. That's something you will never regret. Nobody on their deathbed regretted that they lived for God. Let me say that again. Nobody on their deathbed regretted that, I wish I lived less for God. Never. It has never happened. At dying point, nobody ever regretted that, I wish I didn't live for God. Amen? Look at 2 Peter 3:8. Yes, somebody read it for me. 2 Peter 3:8. Let's have some other reader. 2 Peter 3:8. Do you have it? Okay, let's have daddy. 2 Peter 3:8, please read.
But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing.
He's telling you what you should not be ignorant of. And by the way, 2 Peter 3 was talking about the coming of the Lord. But he's telling you what you should not be ignorant of. What should you not be ignorant of?
That one day.
One day.
Is with the Lord.
Is with the Lord.
As a thousand years.
As a what?
A thousand years.
As 1,000 years. Complete it.
And a thousand years.
And a thousand years.
As one day.
As one day. Hallelujah. So I'm not saying don't take me 100%, but get the clue. If he gave 2 days' wages, yeah? He gave us a clue there. He gave us what? A clue. Probably Peter understood that clue. He said, don't be ignorant of this. One day with the Lord is a what? Like a thousand years. So that seems to point to us that the church age is 2,000 years. But we know it cannot be too long. Let me explain why. Because the law itself was not more than 1,500 years. And from Adam to Jesus is 4,000 years. So after him cannot just last forever. You see what I'm trying to say? Everything has its own time span. Between Abraham and Jesus is exactly 2,000 years. Between Abraham, the forefather, when he gave him the promise, and when Jesus showed up, was 2,000 years. So we know that the end of the world cannot last. It's not open-ended. Because God declares the end from when? The beginning. So everything is planned. It's just that he's not revealing it until the time. Are you with me? And so we did, let me just round up. That's why we look at dates such as 2048, looking at Israel. If you assume a man will live 100 years. We look at dates like 2033. If you look at the church age, yeah? What we are trying to tell you is that we are in the end times. Believe it. It will change the way you live your life. Let me explain to you how I'm living my life. I'm running this race as fast as I can. Anything that is a weight, I have to drop it. I'm not perfect. Hello? I am what? I'm not perfect. But now I'm no longer living for myself. Anything that is a weight, I want to drop it. I'm asking God, anything you want me to do? Because you know it can fade away in a moment. Hallelujah. No, that doesn't stop me from taking good care of my wife and my children. It doesn't stop me from having any goals and ambition in life. But everything is directed towards his glory. Hallelujah. If I'm going to have a car, I want to use it to serve God. Hallelujah. I don't tell God. Because if God tells me, I say, I want to bless you with a limousine, I say, bring it on. I will use it to what? Serve you. If I have a house, why do I want a house? Why do I want it? To serve God. Why do I want promotion? Mr. Pamela, why do you want promotion?
To serve God.
To serve God with it. Why do I want children? Who wants children here? Mr. Claudia, was that you? Why do I want children? Tell me why I want children. To serve God. Let me tell you, how do you serve God with your children? Let me tell you how. The Bible says that, train up a child in the way of the Lord. That's how you serve God with your children. You know why? Because when you train them up in the way of the Lord, when you release them, God can use them. Hallelujah. That's what I'm telling mothers again this church. Don't just read to your child Cinderella and Twinkle Twinkle Little Star. Buy Bible stories from a young age I'm not saying you shouldn't read those things. Read them. But the one you should not miss every day is to read them a Bible story. And believe me, they will enjoy it. Let me tell you the difference between Cinderella and Bible stories. Bible stories are totally true. They happened. Cinderella is a fiction, a work of imagination. Hallelujah. Don't just take your children to Disneyland. Bring them to church. Disneyland is a product of imagination. And when you tell your children that Disneyland is the most important thing, they will believe you. They will what? They will believe you. And they will do the same to their children. Hallelujah. Let's move on. Okay, let me try to round up in 10 minutes. I have four more questions because I have 4 points left. Okay, next question. Hey, good one. Will all Christians and good people make the rapture? Let me get it again. Let me just read it again. Will all Christians and good people, you know some good people, they are not Christians, but they are good. You know some people that are even nicer than Christians. Yeah, you met them, haven't you, at your workplace or, you know. Will all Christians and good people make the rapture? Or will all Christians and good people make it to heaven? Yes. You know what I want to do? If you've received a prize today, don't raise up your hand anymore. Because we have 4 coins left. So let's be fair. Okay? Yes. Will all Christians and good people make the rapture or make it to heaven?
No, because...
And you give the reason, yeah.
Because you could be like, you could be a good person but not be a Christian. Because you could be a good person and not pray. And even if you are a Christian, you could like be still missing some key things you need, like prayer.
Okay, so you feel that somebody who doesn't pray will not go to heaven? Is that what you're saying? All right, okay, let's take it. Let's have some other answer. That's a good answer. Let's see if we can have a better answer. Will all Christians and good people make the rapture? Or will all Christians and good people make it to heaven? No? Why? You have to give a strong reason, okay?
Good people won't make it to heaven because the Bible says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of
God. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, yeah.
So your good works will never match up to, your good works will never match up to God's glory. And also as well, we are not saved by works, but by grace and faith in Jesus. So works will never save you. It will never justify whether you will enter heaven or not, but by faith. And believers as well is because you have to be fully in with God and not half-hearted. So there's Christians who are half-hearted, but you have to be fully in, full-hearted with God, completely trusting and living by His grace. Yeah.
Thank you very much. Let me just explain that to you. You see, a good person who is not a Christian, you know what they are like? They are like if you have a 100-year-old car, the engine has died, the steering wheel is broken, you know, the gear system is not working, then you go outside and you paint it very nicely. That's what your good works are like without faith in Christ. Because spiritually, every man is bankrupt. All have sinned, we inherited it, and we fall far short of the glory of God. So your goodness without faith in the Savior cannot save you. It's just a whitewashing, yeah, of a grave full of bones. Do you understand? You need a Savior. And Jesus said, I am what? The way. Only one. Because only one person came down from heaven. How many people came down from heaven? Only one. In all the religions, how many people came down from heaven? Only one. Jesus said what? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one, everybody say no one, comes to the Father except through me. It's absolute statement. Okay, now, let's take the question again. Will all Christians make heaven? So that answer is a good answer, 50p. Will all Christians make heaven? Sister PJ, he has not said anything today, so let's have you.
Only true Christians will make heaven, so not all Christians. Well, it's quite easy to say, you know, like say I'm a Christian, yeah, openly, but you know, my works, I could still have things that maybe do unrighteous things, or you know, and so on, so on and so forth.
Good answer. Okay, so that the price will go to Fernando because he gave us a lot of solid info. That's right answer. Only true believers will make the rapture. Let's quickly prove that to you before we now define who is a true believer. Open your Bible to Revelation. Revelation chapter 3, verse 10. Please look at your Bible. It's good you know, so that you will not assume. See, one of the worst things that can happen to you as a Christian is when you don't know something, you assume. You will think it's the right thing. You understand? You may even argue with people. But when you go to the word of God, it will show you the truth. And Bible says, when you know the truth, what will it do? It will make you free. Revelation chapter 3. Verse 10 to 13. Let's have someone read. Mr. Mary, are you there? Revelation chapter 3, verse 10 to 13. Please follow in your Bible. Revelation chapter 3, verse 10 to 13. Please follow in your Bible.
Because you have obeyed my command to preserve.
Persevere.
To persevere. I will protect you from the great time of testing that will come. That will come upon the whole world.
So you see that the people who will make the rapture are those who are faithful. The believers who will make the rapture are those who are what? Faithful. The unfaithful believers will not make the rapture. And we will show you again from the story of the wise and foolish virgins. They all claim to know the Lord. Again, telling you 50%, giving you 50% again, yeah? They all claim to know the Lord, but only 5 of them made the wedding. The other said, Lord, open. He said, I don't know you. Why? Because they were not faithful. Okay, let's leave it for time. Let's leave it. Okay. Stamiri, let's leave it for time. Okay, yes. Now, next question. Okay. Who is a false believer? We said only two believers will make the rapture. So who is a false believer? Yes, Sister Mary, give us the first answer. Okay. Okay. Define a false believer.
I'll say...
We'll round up in 3 minutes.
Somebody
who is a false believer?
Someone who doesn't do God's command.
Someone who doesn't obey God's command. Is a false believer. But that doesn't mean, you know, if once in a while you sin, that doesn't make you a false believer. Who is a false believer? But that's a good answer. Somebody who is persistently disobedient to God. That person doesn't then believe in God. Doesn't matter if they come to church, if they are persistently always disobedient. Yeah? They have denied the faith they claim to have. Yes?
Someone who doesn't have faith.
Someone who doesn't have faith in Christ. They come to church, but they are not trusting in Christ for salvation. They come to church, but when nobody is there, they still go and do some other things. They still visit some seers or whatever. They are pretending. Oh yes? Who is a false believer?
Like the Bible said, faith without action is dead. And just like action without faith is not, it doesn't produce any fruit.
Yes.
So that's my definition.
Okay. Let's move faster. Open to Matthew 15. Matthew 15 verse 8 to 9. Quickly. Matthew 15 verse 8 to 9. I want to define for you a false believer. Please don't miss this one, because this has to do with your own destiny. I don't want us to deceive ourselves and say, okay, because I go to church once in a while, you know, because I, you know, give, because I, you know, do one or two things, I'm making the rapture. Because that way I failed you as a pastor to tell you the truth. Look at Matthew 15, verse 8 to 9. Yes, who would like to read that? Matthew 15, verse 8 to 9. Matthew 15, verse 8 to 9. Anyone who has not read today? Okay. Anyone who has not read today? Yes? You've not read today, yes?
No.
Okay. Matthew 15, verse 8 to 9, please.
These people honor me with their lips.
These people do what?
Honor me with their lips.
They honor me with their what?
Their lips.
Their lips.
But their hearts are far from me.
But their heart is what?
Far
is
from
far
me.
From me.
They worship me. They worship me in vain.
They worship me what?
In vain.
In vain.
Their teachings are but rules taught by men.
Amen. Mm. Now let me just tell you where a false believer is. A false believer is an hypocrite. And who is an hypocrite? Before you start laughing. Is a religious, lukewarm pretender. Other people call them Christians. Say, ah, hello, my brother, I love you. You know, we all love Jesus. They can carry the microphone or the megaphone. Say, I love Jesus. Believe in Jesus. They honor God with their lip. But their heart is far. Their heart is focused on something else. Are you listening to me? That's a false believer. They are religious, but they are pretenders. They are not true inside. Yes, in their heart is not really seeking God. They are just doing enough to get by or so that nobody will criticize them. False believers, they are silent operators. They are operating on the ground to do evil things. But over the head, everybody says, ah, that sister, I love her. She's the best. Yeah? So they actually call Jesus Lord. That's why they honor him with their lips. So don't misunderstand it. They honor Jesus with their lip, but their heart is focused on the things of this world. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's what their heart beats for. If you wanted to get them to move, bring those things, they will move. Get them to love and serve God, they will just be dragging feet. Their heart is not there. Hello? Their heart is what? Not there. Alright? So that's what a false believer is. Alright, I have three more answers. Let's see if I can just ask those questions before we go. Now, the next set of questions are from Matthew, the story of the five and foolish virgins. So the question I want to ask you is this. In that story, let me just quickly recap it, okay? In fact, actually, let me see how many questions I have left. Okay, yes. So I have 3 points. I may just give it to this question. Let's see. In that story, we read that there were there were 10 bridesmaids. They were waiting for the bridegroom. Yeah? But the bridegroom delayed. You know what the meaning of delayed means? That now people have been waiting for Jesus for 2,000 years. So after a while, people said, maybe it's not even coming again. They've been saying it and saying it. You understand? So everybody slept, meaning that they stopped expecting. But Bible says that the 5 of these bridesmaids were wise and 5 were foolish. What was the difference between the wise and the foolish virgins for the first answer? We read the story today. What was the difference between the wise bridesmaid and the foolish bridesmaid according to the story? 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. What was the difference? Yes, we have shown first. So there were 5, there were 10. We read the story. Who read the story? Sister Frida. Why? Yes, but that was for the last question. Okay, do you overrule? All right. Okay, let's go. She says, can't answer. Anybody who has won something cannot answer. So we can go around. Yes? Yes? If you not won something, what was the difference between the wise and the foolish virgins or the wise and the foolish bridesmaid in that story?
Because they had more faith and kept.
No, I'm just asking for the literal difference from this. As the story said it, not interpretation. Okay. Let's try Sister Frida first because she read it. Let's see whether she can recap what she read.
They had enough oil in their lamps.
They what? Please put your hands together for Sister Frida. At least she knew what she was reading. Bible says that the 5 bridesmaids, they all had lamps and it was night time. Night time reflects the end time. You know, light is the end. So the 5 ones, what made them wise was that they had oil in their lamps. They had enough. They all had some oil. They all had some oil in their lamps. But the wise ones had enough or extra. But the foolish ones did not have enough or extra. Okay? Next question. So what happened in the story? Their oil ran out and they needed to go and buy. They actually begged. They said, no, we can't give you because if we give you, there will not be enough. So what really made them foolish was that they didn't have enough oil. Now they now went to buy. Why they went to buy oil? The bridegroom, Jesus, came and they were not there. So he took the five and they went into the wedding. And they locked the, just like, you know, the Ark of Noah. The door was locked. Nobody could go in. Question. What oil? What's the meaning? They said they went to buy oil. What was the oil that they went to buy? What was the oil they lacked? What was the oil they didn't have enough in their lamp? Because that seems to tell me another difference between true believers and false believers. The true believers are the wise bridesmaids. And what made them true is that they had, I'm giving you the clue, they had enough oil. And they knew how to keep it. The foolish ones, what made them foolish, the false believers, is they didn't care to have enough oil. They were lukewarm, of course. They were lukewarm. Because if they were not lukewarm, they would care. But what was the oil? That, and the clue, remember, is they went to buy oil. Yes? Let's have daddy first. Let's go from top to bottom now.
Can we say they didn't have enough faith?
Faith? Yes, that's a good answer. Not perfect. Faith is a good answer, but it's not perfect. It's in the right direction. Yes? Sister PJ. Why are you not smiling? You want to have a go?
Perseverance.
Perseverance. Good answer. Not perfect. Do you want to have a go? We are almost finishing. Yes. What was the oil? I've been thinking about it a long time and then finally I got the answer.
They were not ready.
Yes, but I'm looking for the oil. What does the oil, what spiritual virtue, what spiritual virtue does that oil represent that they lacked and that meant that they missed heaven? That's the meaning. They missed heaven. Despite the fact that they wanted to go. You see, that story is tragic. They wanted to go, but they were locked out. Why? What did they lack?
They didn't have the Holy Spirit.
Say that again.
They didn't have the Holy Spirit.
Yes, I mean, that would have been a natural answer. It's a good answer, but it's not the perfect answer. I'll tell you why. The oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. Yeah? But in this story, it cannot be only the Holy Spirit because you cannot buy the Holy Spirit. So normally, if you didn't say buy, I would say it's the Holy Spirit. But you see that the answer comes back to the Holy Spirit. They cannot buy the Holy Spirit, so it's not the Holy Spirit. But they didn't have it. But there was something else they didn't have. It's not the Holy Spirit. Because this oil in the story, they could go and buy it. And they actually, as far as we know, they went to buy it because they came back. They came back to ask that the door should be opened. That means they went to buy something. Yeah? What was it? Yes.
Trust,
yes, yes. Say that again. Say what you said against that, Mary.
The Bible.
The Bible, that's the closest answer so far. It's not the perfect answer. What did they have? What was the oil they didn't have? And they went to buy. The Bible is the closest answer, I said. So move in that direction. Anybody, there's something I say a lot in this church that you need to have. In fact, the answer. The what? They didn't have what?
The truth.
They didn't have enough truth. Now, I will prove it. Open to Proverbs 23. I will stop on that note. Open to Proverbs 23. Open to Proverbs 23. That's the last one. Proverbs 23, verse 23. Open to Proverbs 23, verse 23. Proverbs 23, verse 23. Let's have someone read. Let's have someone read. Proverbs 23:23. Say that again.
Get the truth and never sell it. Also get wisdom, discipline, and good judgment.
Amen. Now, let's have another version. I'm looking for the version that says buy. There you go, Daddy.
Buy the truth.
Buy the truth.
And sell it not.
And sell it not.
Also wisdom and instruction. and understanding.
Amen. Actually, wisdom, instruction, and understanding all come from the truth. If you don't have truth, you don't have wisdom. Because wisdom is the ability to discern truth. Understanding. If you don't have truth, you don't have understanding. Insight. Without truth, no insight. Hallelujah. The difference between the wise and the foolish version is... Who got the answer? Sister Pamela, I gave you the... The difference between the wise and foolish version is that one said build their life on truth. They listened to the truth. They spoke the truth to themselves. They refused to deceive themselves. They received the truth. Yeah? They embraced it and they lived it. They did not take the truth and then just give it to another person and not leave it. They kept it. You sell it not. Mean when you receive truth, put it into practice. Sell it not. The foolish virgins, they played around Jesus, but they never built their lives on the truths of Jesus. They never became disciples of Jesus. They honor God with their lips, but they never became disciples. They knew little or nothing about the things of God. They were not interested in truth. They like to deceive themselves. That's why Jesus said, I don't know you. Okay? All right. So I have one more coin. Let me see the cheapest answer. This should go to a child. What's the cheapest thing I can say? All right. Okay, this is the question. No. Okay, finally. How can you be sure of making the rapture? Yes, just the children. And it's open to all. How can you be sure of making the rapture? Let's start with those who have not received any answer. If you want to go with Jesus when Jesus comes, you want to fly straight to heaven, what should you need to do? Come on. Yes? This is the last question. You have a friend in your school, and if I say, you tell the person, you know Jesus is coming. And when he comes, all the true believers will just fly to meet him, and they will forever be with him. By the way, I want to explain to you what happens at the rapture. At the rapture, in a moment, you'll be changed. You will experience resurrection, means that your body will change. It is not going to be this body. This body cannot fly. Can he fly? You know when Jesus was from the dead, he had a new body. That's why he could just lift off without any proportion. At the moment, you will be changed. Your body will be changed. And it becomes supernatural. It will be better than Superman. And you will rise to heaven. Amen? What do you need to do to make the rapture? Go in. Tammy, Stephen, what do you need to do today to make sure that you make the rapture?
Believe in God,
yes. Good answer, not perfect. Mirabel, you're not spoken.
We need to serve God.
Serve God, yes. Good, not perfect. Yes?
Be a true believer.
Yes, how? The first thing you need to do to be a true believer. Let's assume that you've been a false believer or an unbeliever. You know, get the question. Let's assume that you've been a false believer or an unbeliever. What do you need to do first? The first thing you need to do, maybe today you realize, I've been an hypocrite, I've been a false believer. What do you need to do to start changing your destiny?
Repent.
What? Repent. I give you that answer. So we round up on that note. And I would like to round up on that note that the only thing that will guarantee that you make a rapture is to repent of every unrighteousness in your life. And rededicate your life to God, that your whole life, nothing held back, to be lived for His glory. So that whether the rapture is tomorrow or 5 years or 10 years, you will have nothing to fear. You should be able to live your life in a way that there is no, even Jesus, you know, some people, I tell you something, when the rapture happens, they say, Jesus, wait, I want to quickly go and settle my investment. I want to, you know, sell all this, transfer, write a will for those who will not make the rapture, you know. You need to live your life so that you are ready to fly without shame at any time. That is the way. If you are living like that, then you are sure. If you are not living like that, then you are not sure. And you may probably not make it. Because you are not sure. You are not watching. You have to watch. And that you do that, you repent of unrighteousness. You walk in love. You have to walk in love. It's part of it. You have to walk in love. You have to serve God and serve people. You have to love God and love people. That means you don't have anything that will, any weight that will take, pull you down when you are supposed to fly. Hallelujah. Hello. If you want to fly, what do? You remove all unnecessary baggage. Let's pray.